You are tuned in to another edition of Americana Music Profiles, brought to you by Americana Rhythm Music Magazine and AmericanaMusicMagazine.com. I'm your host, Greg Tutwiler. Let's jump right in to the next exciting interview. The musical act Ravis Cole consists of Laurie Ravis and Dennis Cole, singer-songwriters hailing from Bellingham, Washington. They are Southern California, Middle Eastern, European, Gypsy Spirit sound, landed a recent album on Billboard Heat Seekers chart at number 11. They've just released their latest single, Thanksgiving. Laurie and Dennis are my guests on this edition of Americana Music Profiles. Laurie and Dennis, welcome to the podcast. Thanks for joining us today.
Our pleasure, Greg.
Thank you, Greg.
Where are we talking to you from at the moment?
Well, we're in Bellingham, Washington, about 90 miles north of Seattle.
Okay. And I was reading in some of the press notes that you guys were originally from two different parts of the country. Is that right?
We are a bi-coastal couple. With me having lived in the Seattle and North area for a long, long time, and Lori?
And I'm originally from the East Coast, from Connecticut and Boston, where I spent a lot of my years.
Okay. How did you guys get connected, being so far apart in your origins?
Well, at the Crown of the Continent Guitar Festival, we actually met up in a jam class.
Okay.
Where there was about 10 students. I had my red Stratocaster. Dennis, you had your archtop, didn't you?
Yeah, but
I remember Dennis because he was always a little bit louder with his amp than everybody else. So after one of the classes, we would stay around late and we would jam together. So I would play drums and then he'd play guitar and then we'd switch around and we just were having a lot of fun.
Yeah, there's something that you can... Laurie has a wonderful sense of humor that immediately shines through when you talk with her. And she also has a sort of a quirky way of looking at things, which I share. I think we both like to put common things together in uncommon ways.
Uh-huh.
And that sort of is a strong part of the basis for musical and songwriting chemistry.
But, Greg, I do have to tell you, when we were doing these jam sessions after class, one of them, I don't know, it was like the fourth one, Dennis goes, "Do you want me to carry your guitar to lunch?" And I thought, uh-oh, what's going on here?
Well, chivalry may be, chivalry is not completely dead.
Well, that's a good safe pickup line. You kind of let you know that, maybe this will work. At least there's a start.
Yeah, maybe. But that was in Montana, Big Fork, Montana. So, after the festival, we went to our prospective homes and started communicating on email, like very, very long handwritten or typed emails, mm-hmm. and then lots of phone conversations.
Well, one of the first songwriting things that we did together was in the immediate aftermath of that camp, we have a song called Folding Onto a Rainbow. And I was riding my bike along a 12-mile-long lake that is close to where we live, and it was a typical sort of gray, overcast northwest day. And as I was riding and feeling the rhythm of the bike, I saw a rainbow, and I got to thinking, wow, what if you could ever get to the end of a rainbow and actually, grab a hold of something? And with the feelings that I was having about Lori, kind of her being the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow,
mm-hmm.
it all kind of morphed together into a song about love, called Holding Onto a Rainbow.
That's cool. And how long ago did you release that song?
It was originally released in 2016. On our original Electric Blue Dandelion album.
Okay.
And for the songwriters who listen to the show, the song started on email where I would write one line and then Dennis would write a line and we kind of traded lines back and forth. So it really is a part of both of us.
Yeah. Yeah. Interesting. Kind of had the pandemic approach before you ever had to.
Right.
Well, at least we didn't have to wear a mask while...
That's right.
More guitar as well.
So did each of you have your own music career
prior to meeting each other at that camp?
Well, I was in Boston, so I was playing in a couple different bands, one an all-girl band and then another one with a bunch of different people. So I was playing electric guitar quite a bit and starting to get more into the singer-songwriter on my acoustic guitar. And, you know, in the last 7 years since Dennis and I have been playing together, I've really stayed more true to acoustic guitar.
Mm-hmm.
And I played guitar since I was 14.
Okay.
And it was mostly a hobby for a long time. And as I continued to, you know, play guitar, try to expand horizons, et cetera, I found that there was really something about music and communicating and songwriting and all that that I really felt called to pursue.
Mm-hmm.
And that was why I was in Montana in the first place, was to sort of take my music out of the closet and put it into a public space and to make it more of my life. So that's what really led me to find Laurie.
Yeah.
And Dennis should tell you, he did start playing guitar in classical, right, on nylon string.
Yeah, so I started life off as a classical guitar player, did a little bit of flamenco, and it's certainly gone all around the planet since then.
Well, again, in some of the notes you guys sent over, I was looking at this description of what you do, and this idea of Southern California, Middle Eastern, European, Gypsy. It's a fairly eclectic mix, and yet when I listen to some of your music, I can really hear the different little elements of all of that kind of coming through. Was that just kind of organic for you from the backgrounds that you two came from, or is that more intentional with your sound?
I think it's just very organic. It's kind of like decorating your house. You know, you may have some things you inherited. You may have some things from a travel. You may have other things that are just good value, you know.
Yeah.
it's all a part of us that just is exudes out of us.
Well, and I also, I would say it's quite a bit intentional. That it's similar to cooking, where you experiment with different spices and flavors.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I like to put things together in unusual ways. I find that stimulating and interesting, and exploring what comes out of that. So, yeah, it's a mix of both organic and intentional direction in putting these things together and creating them.
I noticed in at least a couple of videos that I looked at that there was other folks involved musically. Is that for the purposes of the recording, or do you guys get to play together as a larger group sometimes as well?
Well, because we're now in Bellingham, when we perform together, we perform together as a duo. So that really was for the purpose of recording the songs and being able to put out a fuller soundscape in
mm-hmm.
the recordings.
Mm-hmm.
But it also, really, we've been blessed to have wonderful musicians to work with. And, you know, they're not just people who come in and play something simple. They come in and really put their heart into what they do. And the whole does become greater than the sum of its parts.
Mm-hmm.
And we've really been privileged to have some truly talented people play with us.
Yeah. That's awesome. Were you guys able to get to a place of full-time musicianship prior to this thing that we're in at the moment? Were you able to be out and call it full-time?
Yes, we were, and we missed it. We missed it, just like
sure.
everybody else.
Yeah.
I mean, gosh, last year at this time, we had been in the United Kingdom and had a great tour over there, which we would love to go back again. And then played a couple gigs on the East Coast before coming home. And, you know, even last summer at this point, we were traveling around Washington State, being able to, the state's beautiful and very varied regions to go visit, and able to go across the mountains and play or over the water.
Yeah.
Really fast.
Yeah.
Well, that's one of the beauties of music, is that it gives you a common basis to be able to connect with people that you don't already know, and to be able to share things that arouse feelings, you know, that are get the response back from people about what they hear in your music, mm-hmm. how it hits them, et cetera. You know, and in a way, it takes us from being, you know, relatively, it takes us away from being relatively disconnected as members of society to more back to sort of a tribal thing where you get together in smaller groups
yeah.
and you feel a sense of connection, kind of like the call and response in a gospel service or something like that.
Right, we
miss that.
Yeah. Yeah, yes, everybody I talk to feels the same way, and I know we're all hoping that we'll find a normal that looks similar to that, at least from the music perspective, so that we can find ways to entertain and be entertained for sure. You mentioned earlier, Dennis, you were talking about the song. The songwriting process for you guys when you sat down to put a new project together, are you writing individually and together, or is everything that you do a collective for the project?
The answer is a little bit of both. I mean, there have been songs that, you know, Lori had started this journey a little ahead of me and I put out her EPK 101, no, EP 101, just before we met.
Yeah, in 2013.
Okay.
So those songs, you know, as we have worked with some of those songs, I have, you know, learned to play within the context of the song that she has already created. I think since then, the things usually, you know, usually there's one main cook, you know, that somebody has to be the captain of the ship. So it's sort of kind of like, well, who really has the lead in a particular song? But it's sort of like a, you know, a 52%, 48%, you know, partnership in there.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, it truly ends up, by the time it's done, it really reflects both of us.
Yeah,
and it evolves in directions that are different than it would be if it was just one of us saying, here, you know, now play something with the song that I've written.
Yeah.
And it, just to kind of give you a visual of the differences between Dennis and I, if we were to play with a metronome, I would literally probably be playing with the metronome on the one beat, you know, like click, click, click. And Dennis would have like 16th notes and, you know, polyrhythms and all.
Yeah.
So the tension between us, there's definite tension sometimes in the creation process. And that's a good thing because it forces us to kind of negotiate and compromise with each other as to
sure.
where the song could
yeah.
land.
Yeah.
Yeah. And one of the things that's really fun for us is, yeah, I love words. And I get caught up in ideas. And I think that there's a risk in that of being too sort of cerebral, you know, and Lori loves words as well, but she has a very visceral sense of things in a way of describing things that really resonates with the heart, you know, and how it
mm-hmm.
feels in her body,
mm-hmm.
things like that. And I think the two together, you know, you end up saying it's kind of like, literally yin and yang, salt and pepper, that kind of stuff.
Yeah,
the songs are better for both of us being in it.
And I noticed looking at some of the achievements, you guys been able to have some success recognition wise with some of the things that you put out too. And so that's not everybody gets to recognize that with their music. So, you know, that's awesome that you guys have been able to have some songs, do some chart action and get some acknowledgement for that.
Yeah. You know, it's like having a picture of your kid and somebody else saying, boy, that's a good looking kid.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Yeah. Well, if you do it for the awards, you know, you're not going to be really happy, but it's nice to be acknowledged along the way that somebody goes, yeah, that's a pretty good song. I like that. And then, you know, see it move up the charts and find out some radio stations have been playing it and that kind of thing.
Well, one of the things that is available is, you know, particularly with Spotify, because it offers some metrics, et cetera. You know, you can look at save rates. And when people who don't know you, don't have some attachment to you, save your songs, you know, at a high level across your catalog, it feels good.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
You are making songs that resonate with people.
Yeah.
And that's what that's really what we want to do. It's not about numbers. It's about are we able to do something that is authentic to us and also feels authentic to other people. There's a great quote I read the other day. It says, you know, people won't remember you for what you say. They'll remember you for how you make them feel.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we want to do is, you know, that's, make people feel things.
Yeah.
That's Maya Angelou, right?
I believe you're right. Yeah, I think I saw that somewhere as well. So maybe it was a Facebook post somebody had or something, because I think I saw that recently too. But it is true, though. I mean, it's, you know, artists are creators. And so just to be able to have an outlet to be creative is its own reward. And then to be acknowledged for it, then on top of that, it's just the gravy. So, yeah. You have a new project that just released 23rd, right, of this month, October?
Yes, that's correct.
Tell me about that, 3D Immersive.
Well, the 3D Immersive, it's hard to be short, but I'll try. you know, I think without getting into the technical side of stuff, this is a time when, you know, people don't really get to go out and hear live music. They don't get to have that kind of in-person experience that is so important to us as human beings.
Mm-hmm.
And in a way, being able to use technology to help create more of an experience of what it's like to actually be there. You mm-hmm. know, when the walls sort of disappear, instead of looking at a soundstage, you know, feeling like you're actually there, giving your ears wings to fly when your body can't.
Mm-hmm.
That type of thing. That's what we hope with this, and it's two things. One is there's some technological stuff in there in terms of creating this, which is, you know, relatively, it's a new up-and-coming thing. The other thing is we're trying to tell a story in terms of how we arrange the songs and put it into this album so that, you know, the concept album is like Pink Floyd's The Wall and things like that, you know, is less common these days when it's all single-driven. But we tried to do something that makes it as close as possible to give people the experience of being there.
Mm-hmm. Is it something that... go ahead.
I would say, said in another way, the 3D is really, you can hear the instrumentation all around your head if you use headphones.
That's what I was going to ask. Does it make a difference if you listen to it in headphones versus a stereo of some type?
It does, and you can hear it, you know, the different... It's an artistic... another artistic choice where you place the instrumentation and the vocals and so forth. So you have more choices than just the stereo, which is left, right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can go in front of you, you can go in back of you, you can go up high, you can go down low.
Interesting.
And
okay.
So this album was a curated choice of songs that represents the hero's journey. So it's meant to take you on a little bit of a journey, and that's why we have some songs that are very short, just to kind of add to the journey feel of
mm-hmm.
the whole album.
Yeah,
I can relax for, you know, 30 minutes or so.
Yeah, yeah, I love using the Joseph Campbell connection in there. That's cool. is this something that you will release as a whole piece, or will you release singles from it also?
Well, it is. It's really both. I mean, right now we're not putting it out on a CD. We've released it on all the streaming services.
Okay.
And, you know, it's organized and structured to be able to stream the whole thing. But obviously, within that context, anybody can, you know, choose to take a bite and sample one song from it. But the real, the intent was, if you like it or if it's interesting to you, to the idea of the immersion, you know, like
mm-hmm.
taking a bath with a good book, right? You
mm-hmm.
want to get away from a little while, have a break from, have a break from the news cycle,
right?
You know,
yes.
Go listen to the music, and they'll give you that kind of a break.
Yeah.
And anybody who just likes, you know, music, it still sounds great just to listen to it, you know.
Right.
But people who love Americana music, I think, will still really appreciate the songs, because they're still songs at the heart of it all.
You,
yeah, it makes me think a little...
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, well, I just thought of this as we're talking, but it reminds me a little bit of art. And let's say you like painting, you know, and some people use, thick oil paints with a palette knife, and other people use watercolors, and et cetera. And it's a different way of looking at something, and it's a different way of experiencing it. And, you know, it's not better, it's different. But it's cool to have that option available.
I was listening to a video, and I'm assuming the song is on there, and if I'm not, then maybe I'm going down a bunny trail that we have a different conversation. But the Angel from Montgomery, is that part of this album?
It is. Okay. So we released Angel from Montgomery as a single.
Okay.
You know, the stereo version, which is the video that you're seeing, which was filmed very close to our home here in Bellingham.
Yeah. I love what you did with that. It's just, it's a really, really pretty arrangement.
Oh, thank you. I mean, we actually started the recording process, a year plus ago at Americana Fest when we were there in Nashville.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
And that's when we got together with all the musicians to get the song up and running.
Yeah.
And then we were able to finish it out here, you know, in our own home studio.
Yeah.
And the video itself was filmed, you know, right in the middle of the pandemic. So quite honestly, it wasn't the easiest thing.
I'm sure. Yeah. Yeah.
So we're a little more ragged than usual. You know,
yeah.
Not quite as polished.
Yeah.
But, you know, it sure is authentic. So
yeah.
That's the whole point of the song.
And we also have included Angel from Montgomery in a 3D version and the 3D immersive, release. So, you know, it's an excellent example to be able to contrast the difference between how it sounds in a stereo version and how it sounds in a 3D immersive version.
Awesome. Cool. Okay. Well, before we wrap things up, we were talking a couple days ago, and there's a song that you guys recorded a couple years ago that kind of feels sort of appropriate in more ways than one with the holiday season around the corner. You have a song called Thanksgiving that you kind of want to reemphasize in this season. Can you tell me about that a little bit?
Well, Thanksgiving Feel Like Home is, it's a song that, you're right, it's a great time of year for the whole concept of it. And it's interesting because it's a song about letting go of expectations around the holiday and just being open to, you know, the kind of holiday you may have. And, you know, the first line is a Thanksgiving without family, you know, and it's appropriate this year, but it's really about home is where the heart is.
Right.
And you can have family around you, whatever experience you're having, it's open to all of us.
Yeah, yeah. And that is available on which album?
That's Electric Blue Dandelion Nashville Session.
Okay. Awesome.
So that came out in 2018.
And that's on all the platforms as well?
Yes, it's on Spotify, Apple Music, and we actually sell a CD. The CD's still on our website.
Okay.
If anybody likes CDs, we don't know, but...
there's a few of us out there that still enjoy CDs. So tell the folks where the website and how they can get in touch with you if they want to learn more about what you guys are up to and learn more about the latest project, 3D Immersive, and this song and that record.
Well, I will say we do put out a monthly newsletter, which we really work at providing value for people with our articles and information. And you can sign up on our website, which is ravescole.com. It's ravescole.com. And we do that once a month. But all of our information is really housed on our website. We have links to go pretty much anywhere you need to go to either stream a song, download a song, or, you know, buy some of our music.
And we talk about things ranging from the creative process in a song, such as with Angel from Montgomery, 3D Immersive, talking about some of the technology sorts of things. But, you know, we really try to make it be informative and say, well, you know, what's the backstory on some of these things? What would we like to know if we like the music or we're interested in the process generally? you know, what would be of interest to us as an informed consumer, and we try to put that into the blog post to give people a little deeper insight.
Okay, neat. That's cool. Well, thank you all very much. This has been really cool talking to you and getting to know about your story and especially how you put this latest project together, and we certainly wish you well with it.
Thank you so much, Greg.
Thanks again for tuning in to this episode of Americana Music Profiles. Find us on iTunes at Americana Music Profiles and on the internet at AmericanaRhythm.com.
Hey, this is Liberty DeVito.
This is Mike Del Judas.
This is Michael Cavanaugh from Broadway's Moving Out.
This is John Jackson, director of the Billy Joel Archive.
This is Russell Javers.
This is Richie Cannata, and you're listening to Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast. It's awesome.
I'm Michael Grosvenor.
And I'm Jack Fernino.
We're lifelong Billy Joel fans who launched a podcast in 2020 celebrating the music we love.
Whether you're looking for the greatest hits or the B-sides and rarities, you'll find it all here. And if you've ever wondered what happens behind the scenes of a concert or recording session, we've got you covered.
Join us as we explore albums, tours, band members, the latest news, and more. You'll also get a unique glimpse into the music industry straight from the musicians and other professionals who help make it all happen.
Tune in to Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast, at glasshousespod.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast, is a proud member of the Pantheon Podcasts Network.